about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 30th on the West Coast, now New Year's Eve, December the 31st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome everyone listening on BBSRadio.com as well as on Blog Talk Radio. .com and Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Lots of news going on. Of course, what you want to believe and what you want to really pay attention to has everything to do with what the source of that news is. If you're listening to mainstream, you're likely to hear about all the girlfriends that Tiger Woods has and all the holes in one that he made. we'll say it that way. And you can hear my guest laughing in the background. I recall an old joke that Johnny Carson said, but since this is listened to in the daytime in certain parts of the world, and there are some children listening, we'll save it for another time. But I have a follow-up joke that's even funnier than that one. Anyway, those of you that are familiar with the old Tonight Show reruns with Johnny Carson and some of the outtakes, there was an interview that occurred with Arnold Palmer's wife once many years ago before the PGA Championship. and the story referenced what she did for good luck, for Arnold's good luck. Anyway, another time.
I think we got it.
So we have so much going on in the world, and it's just chaotic. I'm updating my website, some new articles, or recent article from Chris Story. I'll have to take care of that after tonight's show. Very interesting article where he's alluding to the intentional programmed, orchestrated false flag event that occurred a couple of days ago in Detroit. And the individual that supposedly had intentions of setting off an explosive in an airplane waited until the plane was approaching, actually. I guess he started a fire in the plane. And it was the incident was described by one of the passengers, who is an attorney from Michigan, and witnessed what transpired in Holland. This individual was led to the ticket counter and basically told, the individual that was with the alleged terrorist was exhorting the employees to let this man through without a passport, without identification, that this is done all the time, that he's from the Sudan and he's a refugee and he doesn't have a passport and he has to go to the United States. Isn't that interesting that you have people in other parts of the world orchestrating these kinds of things to assist terrorists? Well, the man who was doing the exhorting on behalf of the terrorist was described as an Indian man, but later it was learned he was from Indonesia. And in fact, there are many Indonesians in Holland. I wrote quite a bit about the connections between Holland, the Dutch, and the Indonesians when I was doing my research on the long-legged Mac Daddy. And you can read about that in the Three Stooges Go to Washington, parts 3 through 7b. There's quite a bit about that. Now, there's the usual money laundering and the theft of the prosperity funds, the sovereign funds that are designed to basically turn the Federal Reserve on its ears. not that it isn't already, but it'll totally disempower the Federal Reserve, and that's why you have all this corruption going on. They want the status quo to keep going as it has been for a number of years. And, of course, you've got four presidents, three ex-presidents, and one current president, all involved together in this whole scandal. And it is about to break. You can't trust the mainstream media about the stock market rallies and the job outlook going up and inflation being curbed and all that. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all illusion. And tonight, we have with us a man who's an expert in ferreting out the illusion in history, in chemistry, in the area of health science, and even in music a little bit. My good friend is back again with us on New Year's Eve night, here on the East Coast, anyway, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Don. Good morning. Great to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. Not that we're going to talk about Tiger Woods. I'm sure the audience heard you laughing in the background.
Oh,
that was spontaneous.
Did that get through?
Yeah, it's okay. Somebody laughed anyway. You know,
I think it was done. I had my mic off just so you couldn't hear me.
I'm sure if Tiger was listening, he'd even laugh. So. I guess we've had nothing but nonstop Tiger Woods on the mainstream. I heard H.U. Watt mentioned today, and it's been ever since this thing started. I don't know, 24 days or something like that, 24 days ago,
sure.
Every day. And when this cools off, I think we'll be back to Britney Spears or, you know, the old standbys, as usual.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's story, I think, is over finally. But, yeah, the lame mainstream media always needs some kind of nonsense to hype up as such critical news that we all need to know, while they suppress constantly the real truth, the real news that we all definitely need to know. Mm. So it's so common with them, Don.
Yes. And now, you know, occasionally we get this gratuitous reference to the healthcare package that they're trying to ramrod down everybody's throats. And I don't know if you paid attention to what Harry Reid has done, but he's basically offered a bill that that in the form of legislation cannot be overturned ever.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Nazi ploy that they're using now, the fascist ploy.
Yep. Yes, sir, Don. I am aware of that. It's outrageous, and that's a person that I would love to see eventually, when they're all held accountable, joining his comrades in that big air dance in the air from a long rope from a high limb with the Star Spangled Banner music blaring right behind their ears. That's what they got coming to them. It's outrageous, but you know what's really incredible? Is they have the audacity to try to tell us, well, this law we just passed is immutable. Once it's passed, it can never be changed. Nothing can override it. Yet our Constitution is exactly that way, and yet they deny it to us all the time. Well, we can, you know, it's old. That's old. It's no longer relevant today. And so that's what's really outrageous. And the American people, I hope, become more astute to that fact that they cannot pass any laws in Congress or Senate that can supersede our constitutional laws. By law, they can't do that.
Yes, that's been an argument that I've made a number of times, not to mention the fraudulent nature of who these people are. You know, I'm working on updating my website software, so I was going with a fine-tooth comb through this research that I released in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhower series. Don't know if you had a chance to read that, but
I did.
It became very clear to me, other than the fact that some of the text is skewed. You know, I've got to straighten all that out. There's some weird things that went on as it was uploading, but it's straightened out. I just have to republish it with the corrections in there. And, you know, anyway, that said, I had the chance to go over everything again, and it really sunk in that the trail that's there, although it's very hidden, makes total sense, particularly Teddy Roosevelt's involvement in a number of areas where I really hadn't paid much attention to him other than when I was doing the research on the McCann clan, who came over here as the McCains. Mm-hmm. And you have this this reciprocal sort of relationship between King Edward VII and Franz Joseph I, which historically has not really been written about, but the go-to man between the two of them was Teddy Roosevelt and his United States Lines, the shipping company. Not to mention, he was the, and I didn't know this prior, he was the former New York City Police Commissioner back in 1895. So he could have very easily secreted many of these people who were going to New York, in fact, the central bankers and all these right. clowns that took over. And I don't know what else to call them besides clowns, you know, wearing a mask, being somebody else other than who they really are.
Yes, definitely phonies.
And I saw the connection between the Great White Fleet, which was, the Navy's way of showing its muscle around the world. But more than that, that was representative or symbolic of the what they called the Great White Brotherhood. And it was that that association that had everything to do with that. Now,
well, these guys are counterfeiters, Don, and if they're trying to convince themselves that they are really part of this true Great White Brotherhood, then that's just hilarious.
Mm-hmm. But I saw the connections in the passenger records. It became very clear to me, and I've spent so much time looking at those that when you see a name or a person that seems to be going someplace other than where they claim the family was. For instance, when they're saying, well, you know, the Eisenhowers settled in Kansas, but you see them all going to New York City, or they're declaring New York and Philadelphia. Even I tracked them to Chicago, actually. I didn't write about that, but that's something for a future piece. They went to Chicago. And much of what they proclaimed about Kansas and Texas and Denver, Colorado, was all masked in this secret, the secret relationships that they had with other operatives in Illinois, and not just in Chicago itself, but throughout the state of Illinois. And I noticed that the role that Roosevelt played in the shipping, and obviously he was involved in as much as the New York bankers were in the secreting of all these agents into our country via Germany and France and England, Holland, to name a few places. Russia was another place. And I discovered, if you read the article, then you saw the film that no one really knew about, going back all the way to 1910. They say they don't know who produced the film, but Roosevelt had the film in his possession, and it ended up in the presidential records. So you have to ask yourself if he himself didn't take that film
mm-hmm.
for posterity's sake, or maybe as a means of future blackmail or something like that. He spent several days there in Austria with the emperor, and it's very likely that they put this whole genealogical ruse together at that time. But it became very, very clear to me when I found in one of the schools the name Johann Adolf Eisenhower.
What's curious, if generally we notice that when that's the case with these blue bloods, that when one of the generations is deceased, their offspring generations will follow up. You know, we had Old Man Bush, then we had Bush Light Jr., and then during those conventions for Boy George, they were hyping their kids to be future candidates, future politicians. And so it's curious with Eisenhower that we don't see any of his kids up front. But also, same with FDR. His kids are low profile as far as government activity to this day. So maybe they're operating behind the scenes more than being the type of people that have to be up front in front of the camera, pulling the wool over our eyes.
Well, you brought up the Bushes or the Scherfs, as they're known in Germany. That is the mortal enemy of Franz Joseph I. The Germans were enemies. Now, you're talking about Zionists here, okay? You're talking, mm-hmm. like you said, blue bloods. But he was at odds with Otto von Bismarck. He was at odds with the Germans, basically, because of his loss in the Prussian War. I should say the Crimean War. Mm-hmm. And he betrayed the Russians, so he didn't have many friends around there. The Serbs and the Turks, who have always stood with the Ashkenazis, basically were responsible for the events that led up to World War I. And even today, that's a hot spot. And, of course, the Clintons have become yes. really interested in that area. So this all plays out according to what's going on today, you see.
It is, yes.
This is a different wing of the fascist Zionist movement. And, you know, it's their attempt to wield the kind of power that was wielded by Franz Joseph I. He was the ruler. He was an autocratic ruler for 68 years, and you don't hear much about him in history.
No, well, that's why they snuffed out the Prussian-Austrian, or rather the Austro-Hungarian
yes.
Empire during World War I. They removed that, so he must have been an obstacle on their path for globalism, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But see, in losing out in those territories, because eventually, you know, the part of Bukovina where Eisenhower was from, and I have no doubt about that, it keeps coming up, Solka Bukovina. Radaut is the region, the greater region. But I can't call it really a coincidence, but the fact that all of these people that I tracked were from the same area, and they were using the name Franz, and they were using the name Karl, and they were using the name Joseph and Elizabeth. You see, you have all these namesakes of the royal bloodline mm-hmm. Secreted into the family. So, mm-hmm.
yeah, they're keeping the namesake alive, right?
Yeah, and then is it a coincidence that they claimed his mother, his American mother's name was Ida Stover, and that Franz, Johann Adolf Eisenhower married Ida Koch. And even the dates repeat themselves between mm-hmm. them, you know, the alleged birth dates and the death dates, and you have this continuing, many of the dates are in November, born in November, died in November. They have this obsession with, symbolic black magic with a death date in November, the 11th month. See, we keep getting into these 11s. And September, and you had 9 and 11, and one of the alleged sons was even born on D-Day. It's not the same year, but the same date. June 6th.
Great timing.
Yes. And where they proclaimed Eisenhower's birth date was October 14th, Ida's birth date was proclaimed to be October 13th, the woman he married. Now, it gets confusing for the listener because I'm calling him Dwight, but his name overseas in Europe was Johann Adolf Eisenhower. And he's listed genealogically as Adolf Eisenhower, and there's a separate listing for Johann Eisenhower. But what,
he must have spoke German pretty fluently.
Oh, yeah. German and maybe one of the Slavic languages as well. Mm-hmm. And then the school record from what was called the KK... Franz Joseph Staatsgymnasium, which is the school named after the emperor. That listing was there with the name, full name, Eisenhower, with the German spelling A-U-E-R ending, and Johann Adolf. So they created two birth records for one person. And they claim that Johann was killed in World War One, and Adolf died in Potsdam, Potsdam, Germany, which is, and then some of the other ones near Berlin. Well, that's on the west side of Berlin, Potsdam, and that's where they had a major conference regarding World War II. So this is too coincidental, all of this.
It certainly is. It's definitely very curious, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And no surprise to all of us that realize that everything's been a lie with the history that we learn in the government school systems. And so it's not surprising, and we've already seen enough of this fraudulent activity right now with this current actor that we have as president, who's definitely a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
And so this activity's been ongoing all century long, and it's really... It's no surprise, even though very disappointing, to know that our modern history is definitely fraudulent regarding the people that have rose to become representatives of our government, and especially at the executive level. It's very disappointing to know we've been having foreigners assuming that office for many decades now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this does have everything to do with what's happening today, despite the fact that there are some out there that will say, well, you know, this is old business, this is history. Yet we so readily will talk about history when it comes to sports, won't we? Or when it comes to music or whatever interests people in a somewhat meaningless way. And I say meaningless in the sense that... you know, you won't die without sports, but some people act like it, and to them that's all that matters. And they say, well, what does this matter? This all happened in the past.
That's all part of our conditioning when we start off in these public school systems down, which of course are government school system. That's all part of the conditioning where that's boring history, but oh yeah, the history of this sport or that. Sure, it's all conditioning, and it's worked well at dumbing us down and not having real interest in our country's modern history.
Or in fate,
or in fate as well. Yes, yeah. Yes, but it's just an amazing conditioning that they've established. They're excellent at that,
mm-hmm.
And it takes effort. It takes work. To want to know facts and the truth behind the stories that we've learned to be history. And that takes effort. And so a lot of people, you know, they just don't have that. They don't have that will. But of course, those that don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. And that's why I always had a lot of interest in history, because I was always so curious about, geez, all this sounds familiar. Didn't they learn their lesson last time 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago? And so that's the important thing, the important lesson that people have to realize. If you don't understand the history of things, then you're going to have to re-experience what others had to experience because they didn't know it either. And that experience is always bitter, just about every time, a bitter, harsh experience. And that's where we are right now. We're at a major crossroad. This latest incident with this supposed terrorist on the plane. And like you said, Don, you know, it's amazing how this guy gets on board without a passport, but anybody else, especially Americans, that don't look like a Middle Eastern terrorist at all, but clearly European stock, but they'll get frisked, they'll get checked up and down, they'll have to take their shoes off, and pretty soon I think they're going to just tell us all get on board naked. Yet this guy manages to waltz right in, obviously, totally is set up, and to try to pull off a detonation that way on the plane, very strange, unless he was really just trying to light a fire to roast his weenies or something, because he's just used to that primitive way of cooking. But it's obviously, totally, a ridiculous story. They're not telling us the truth, and it serves their agenda, again, to rush into law, or at least rush into their procedures for security checks at these terminals with more intrusions into our privacy to break us down further, to get accommodated by government officials requiring us to prove we're innocent no matter where we're going, how we're traveling. We'll all have to prove we're innocent. We're not a terrorist. That's where they want it to all go, and it's getting ridiculous, and it's going to come to a head. It's just a matter of time now.
Mm-hmm. Now, the description, and Chris Story wrote about this in a recent article. He wrote quite a bit about 9/11 too, about some of the financial shenanigans that went on, and who was told not to report to work that day. The published death toll by the 9/11 Commission and by the government and the media was somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000. But they've tracked the court cases that have been hushed and the lawsuits that have been filed indicate more than 12,000 people died.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly what it's being portrayed to be, and we knew that anyway. But the truth is coming out in truckloads now, I can say. And
yeah, it's tragic. There were generally 30,000 to 40,000 people occupying both buildings, typically on a work day there, and so you would figure 12,000. Sure, that's still hardly any representation of the full workforce that's usually occupying those offices. So where was everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
How come they just happened not to go in? And then let's not forget, under Commie Clinton's watch with Oklahoma City bombing, that
and two incidents at the World Trade Center, too.
Don't prior. That's right. Yes, under his watch as well.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Oklahoma City bombing, two newscasts from Oklahoma City, mainstream channel news coverage, and they both simultaneously reported that additional bombs were found inside the building, and so all evacuees were being removed until those bombs were taken out. So here we have, again, a government federal building, no federal employees in that day. Only civilians and kids in the nursery school. Boy, they just love to see them get killed. And then additional bombs are found inside a government building, federal government building. Well, how the heck does explosives get into a federal building unless feds are bringing the explosives in? There's no other way it's going to happen. So let's never forget that, because this all ties in together to support these current situations with the same old MO, modus operandi.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to 9/11, there's a report that just came out that there were many firemen that reported and were coming out of the building with proof that the building was bomb laden and wired, and they were coming out with the proof of that, and they were shot on sight as they came out of the building.
Wow.
That's why so many of them died. Not to mention the ones that were told, you know, to stay there.
Well, here's some of them. Well, you know, I have Davon Kleist's video, 9/11 in plain sight, and there's footage of rescue firemen, rescue workers taking a break, and you could see they're very exhausted. They've been through a lot of grueling activity. And so they're taking a refreshment break and a breather, and they're discussing with each other how they heard in the stairwells explosions going off. Boom, 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 like that. And so those guys managed to still get out of there alive because, you know, that discussion was videotaped, and somehow Davon Kleist managed to get it into his feature on that incident. So, yes, I'm very familiar with that. And of course, when you just watch those buildings come down, at least the World Trade Center's not Building 7, not the Silverstein building that came down without any explosions, as far as supposed plane attacks. And but when you watch those Twin Towers come down, you'll see professional demolition clearly. There's no other explaining how those buildings come down so fast, so cleanly, and at the same time, with generating so much dust and very little rubble, but a lot of dust. Man, those are high powered explosions to do that.
Well, yeah, the metal was liquefied. I mean, you want to talk about technology?
And it
melted and burned in a pool at the base of the building for 3 months.
Right, still hot.
Yeah.
Yes,
and you had even the dogs, the bomb sniffing dogs, and the rescue dogs were exposed to radiation. Many of them died.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a sad state of affairs.
Sure, and just another big lie.
Yep.
They don't tell us any truth. There's no forensics after the event, none at all, on any of the material remaining in the rubble. No forensics at all. All the steel is shipped to commie China. How convenient. And yet, they get away with this. It's just amazing. You know, it's like a criminal covering up his tracks, but, oh, I'm not a criminal. No, no, no. I have all the loot in my back pocket, but that's just coincidence. I came across it while I seen this mess here, and I was just cleaning up this mess because I don't like it. I mean, yeah.
And then there's a ship that they built from the metal of the building.
Yes, yes. And, how patriotic.
Yeah, and I'm sure, first of all, if it was made from that steel, that there's a radioactive ship going around now, sailing around the world.
Yeah, yeah, but most likely probably not really true, because most of that metal went to communist China.
Well, that's what they say.
Yes, that's right. And I believe that to be the case. They shipped that material far away so nobody could study it.
Mm-hmm.
And who better to give it to but their comrades in communist China?
Mm-hmm. Now, Fort Hood. Let's talk about that for a moment. You remember that incident, and I did some quick research on that and printed an article that got a lot of attention. And that didn't get as much attention as Tiger Woods, did it? You had all those people murdered.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's interesting. You know, they didn't milk that one as far as you would think they would with the gun control pursuits, using that incident to tell us why we have to ban guns. They're so bad. And of course, covering up the real truth behind that, because as you reported many times, Don and Drew Raines and others, that there's a lot more to that story. And so, yeah, that got off the radar for the mainstream media, and how, you know, inconveniently, because These are topics they don't really want to explore because it raises more and more questions if they do, and those questions will lead to other answers that they're not telling us. So it makes sense, Don, that they probably took that one as far as they could without spilling the beans on what really happened, and probably they'd prefer it that way, so we don't know really that story as well. So no surprise from the mainstream media, Don. They'll keep us in the dark. That's their job. They're paid a lot of money to do that, and they do it very well, so no surprise there.
Yeah, and then there's the swine flu, and now you've got Clorox and Lysol, both practicing medicine without a license, recommending that everybody get a swine flu shot.
Wow!
In their commercials, oh yeah, this is being permitted. You know, we should draw that attention to the FDA. You know. Of course, they know that they're doing it, of course. They have to. They probably told them to do it.
Sure, they're all buddies behind the scenes. And these big corporations for Clorox and all these other big corporations, they're just, the main stockholders are these banksters, the Rothschild Rockefeller cabal. These big corporations are their toys to bring globalism about. So, yes, absolutely. But it's funny. You know, I would expect maybe Clorox would recommend to people maybe just put a few drops of bleach in their water to disinfect themselves to keep them potentially safe from the swine flu. But they didn't recommend that, I take it, huh?
No. They wash your hands, get your Clorox and your Lysol, and wash the cupboards, and wash anything you touch with it, and then go out and get your swine flu shot.
Okay, good. They're promoting their
clean it up so that the germs from the vaccination have a clean surface to sit on.
Yes, right. Well, I'm surprised they didn't recommend to drink some because I mean they're poisoning us with all their other food and water sources. So you'd think that by at this point to say a little bleach in your water is good for you.
Yeah. Well, now. Let's see, and then there was the Hardin, Montana case with the American police force. You remember that?
Yes.
And shortly after that, and Chuat and I worked on that case quite a bit and actually identified DynCorp as one of the driving forces behind that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there was definitely a link to Blackwater, and then Eric Prince from Blackwater got in some trouble too, didn't he?
Yeah, we haven't heard much about that either, Don.
No.
As far as, where did he end up with accountability for all that?
Well, yeah. It gets swept under the rug. See,
sure
people
did.
Have such a short attention span.
And they take advantage of that because the mainstream media, well, all of a sudden, that story's off the radar, but hey, Tiger Woods, holy smokes. And that's why... You can't allow yourself to listen to mainstream news, whether off the radio or the TV, unless you're under your total volition, knowing that you're doing it just to study them, to see what they're up to, what they want to keep us in the dark on, and what other distractions they're going to use to keep us in the dark. That's the only purpose for listening to them. Otherwise, never listen to them because... they're masters at just conditioning us to want to just accept fluff for news, but not have any interest in real news.
Yeah, nothing substantiated or based in fact. In fact, I can't listen to them without feeling that I'm being lied to. Every word out of their mouth is
sure.
A lie.
Exactly. That's why you can't give them the time of day because, you know, ultimately, you're going to want to kick that TV in or throw that radio out the window because you know they're lying, and they do it with such cordiality, with such professionalism. I mean, they're some of the talk radio stuff like here in New York City. There's some shabby shows where they're not really that, you know, etiquette and prim and proper. But most of them, prim and proper, very professional looking, and you figure, wow, they gotta be good. But all they are is just slick, phony actors and actresses getting paid a lot of money to sell us a bunch of lies.
Yep, yep. And in the state of California, right now they're complaining about Arnold Schwarzenegger and the fact that he's destroying the state. You know, at one time, not too many years ago, California had the 10th largest economy in the world.
Sure, that was just back in the all through the 80s.
Yeah, 80s and into the 90s.
Into the 90s, that's when it started to decline.
Until the blowback from all this financial corruption actually took hold.
Well, that and also the offshoring of high-tech jobs kicked in big time in the 90s. By 93, 94, it was impacting what they call Silicon Valley out there in California, which was the real heart of the money-making area for that state, because it was high-tech, very high-tech. And so they figured they would always be that way, cutting-edge the way they were, that they wouldn't be really impacted with all the offshoring, but it caught up to them around 93, 94, and then through the rest of the 90s, pretty much as soon as the Commie Clinton administration came on board. And so, yes, it's sad to see California, beautiful state, once a beautiful state, to see the sad shape it's in now. But they've done that to every state. You know, all the states are hurting. By design, they're bankrupting us. They're ripping us off. And they're all corrupt and still getting away with it, unfortunately, but God willing, for not much longer. And it's really disgusting. But let's look at some good news, because that most recently, with these globalists and their enslavement mentality trying to get some action in Copenhagen to really set the agenda for the United Nations to take more assertive control over us, being able to tax us and so forth, that has fallen through so far, and that's just great news. And what's really, when you heard some of the reports about that event, because it was about global warming and how we have to tax those bad Americans and all the other people that are breathing and eating, and the animals, they're breathing and eating, and oh my God, they're generating carbon dioxide. Oh my God, that makes things greener. And that means that there's going to be more fresh oxygen if things get greener. Oh, how terrible. I mean, it's so lame, just ridiculous, scientifically so flawed. But that was the agenda, and yet they had terrible winter storms in that region, I understand, and around that timing. So it's like, you know, thank you, Lord, for just making it so ironic that while they're having a global warming conference and trying to convince us how critical it is right now, and yet they had a harsh winter weather pattern come hang out in that same time frame. That's great. I love that. Proves that they're a bunch of idiots, and more people could see that because they were experiencing the harsh weather while they're being told it's getting hotter.
Yeah. Somebody sent me something a few days ago, which was actually quite funny, and I'm looking for it now. But it was giving all the reasons for global warming, according to, you know, the experts, and there was a series of quotes in this piece. If I find it, I'll bring it up to you. then we've had some. I guess this show is a recap of the year's events. We've had some major false flag events that were thwarted prior to the inauguration. If you remember, you were involved in a few of those shows as well, mm-hmm. Right here on Evident Footprints. And we did thwart a major attack that was going to be blamed on Muslims again. And it's one of those things where you have the information, you have an obligation to share it.
Yes, Don, absolutely. That's it's critical for all of our well-being that as we understand what the truth really is regarding the reality of the world we're in currently, that we share that the best we can. Of course, many times it's not going to be well received by many people, and they'll rebuke us and, you know, tell us we're crazy. However, that's part of the process, and don't let that affect you. Let it roll off, feel like water off a duck's back. It's okay. You feel sorry. You have to have sympathy for those people because they're still very ignorant, and they're going to suffer because of that ignorance. And so, and therefore, you have sympathy. But at the same time, you keep planting those seeds everywhere, because the more people know how they operate, their modus operandi, the game that we're in, then we can anticipate their moves ahead of time, and therefore they can't make the move. And that'll shut them down. The more people are aware of this activity of these globalists and their agenda for just wiping out population on the planet, to eliminate all individuality, all entrepreneurial activity, all healthy competition that makes civilization grow and flourish, they're out to destroy all that and monopolize and enslave everything and keep the population down to a small percentage that they can easily manipulate. The more people understand that, then the less they'll be able to pull it off, because everybody knows the strategy, they anticipate it, and we can let them know we're expecting that next move. And once we see you make the move, we know you did it. We're coming after you. And that prevents them from making that move. So it's so important. And God willing, 2010 and on, your show and all these other great shows out there like yours, Don, that are out there 24/7 informing the people about what's going on and breaking down the news into intricate detail sometimes, which could be overwhelming, but nonetheless, it's all good because it substantiates the facts. And the more that you guys get exposed to more of the public out there, then the faster we can put a halt on their activity and finally shut them down and get everything back on track for everybody, our country and all the other countries in the world. We can get back on track where we can all live our lives, raising our families in a healthy environment with opportunities presenting themselves, and finally throw the shackles off of these literal devils who just want to monopolize and suppress everything that threatens their wealth and their control over everything. And when we finally get off the ground, suppress technologies, and get entrepreneurial activity, healthy competition going again, then it's going to be beautiful. There's a golden age that wants to dawn. And these SOBs have been very diligent at making sure it doesn't. And I will acknowledge them at that. They are very, very diligent about ensuring that any spark, any little bit of light, doesn't have a chance to expand. Because the more light expands, the less darkness there will be, and therefore they will have to disappear. So I'll give them credit. They're really good at that. They don't drop their guard when it comes to light trying to establish itself anywhere in this world, let alone our country. But that light will not be killed. It can't be permanently extinguished. And it's trying to establish itself. And our country, we are the fortunate ones, because out of any place in this world, that light wants to establish itself firmly here. Then it will be able to expand and spread around the planet once the United States finally allows that light to firmly establish itself. And it's just up to us as individuals to let that light in.
Mm-hmm. You know, the in light of, and I'm not using a pun here, in light of, you know, the debunked history, it does apply to what's going on, especially if you look at reality from a metaphysical standpoint. Reality is really an eternal now. So there is no separation from what happened in the past, what's mm-hmm. occurring now, and what is going to happen.
Right.
In the deepest sense, I'm saying.
Well, yeah, in the actual sense, yes, that's true. It's just that our finite mind finds it very difficult to glimpse at once the past, the present, and the future. But God, of course, has no problem doing that.
That's because they've used time as a frequency control mechanism to limit our consciousness, you see.
Well, let's not give him too much credit on that one. Time is a man-made concept, generally. And it can be very detrimental as a concept. People accept as time passes, they automatically have to be getting older, for example. Mike, I mean, I'm 30 years later, you know, I'm 60 now, Mike. I'm 50 now, Mike, and I'm 40 now, so I'm getting older. I have to be, but of course you don't have to be, just because chronologically, quote-unquote, time is passing by. And so time is, it's something that requires a study all on its own. And but there is an essence of time where everything's being measured since the beginning when the fall occurred. Everything has to be measured as far as events occur in the history of this world leading up to the final grand conclusion, which I believe is not too far away now. And then, at that grand conclusion, time and space relationship will change again. And as our awareness and consciousness also changes, and as a result, that's really why time-space will have a whole different feel. You know, right now everybody's noticing time seems to be speeding up, getting faster and faster. And people say, well, that's natural as you get older. Everybody says that, but when you talk to people that are really old, like in their 80s, you know, they'll tell you, it never seemed to be going that this fast before. And that's because time right now, like a river, a major river, is rushing closer and closer to its destination, which is a huge falls. And as that river gets closer to that falls, the velocity increases. It gets faster. It moves faster. And that's exactly what we're experiencing now as we're rushing towards a grand conclusion. Once that grand conclusion occurs, everything's going to change again, and things will slow right down. Time will seem to slow right down. The days will truly get longer again.
Yeah, well, let's hope consciousness doesn't slow down.
No, it won't. It's picking up. That's why time will slow down. The greater the consciousness, the slower time will really go. Like in the Bible where it says, 1,000 years is but a day. 1,000 of our years is but a day to the Almighty.
And a day is 1,000 years, too, conversely.
Yes, exactly. Yes, a day to God is 1,000 years in our time. And so that's all because of our awareness being much smaller than God's awareness.
Yeah. In our closing moments here, Michael, you know, since this is a holiday week here, we're trying to stay close to an hour as we can for the guys in the studio so that they can spend some time with their families.
Great.
What do you see from a spiritual perspective, and you're sort of alluding to that, but what do you see coming up in the year ahead? And that's, I'm putting you on the spot in a way because I didn't allow you to prepare for that, but that's...
That's okay, Don. I don't mind that one bit. I anticipate through this upcoming year that, unfortunately, things will get more difficult for us as the controllers try to firmly get that grip over us that they're trying to get established right now. They're going to keep accelerating that so that they're... One world government system can grip the entire world. We're going to see that accelerating through 2010. They're going to be rushing in with all kinds of various activities like this Copenhagen incident to try to get that going. At the same time, though, we are going to see more and more resistance as more and more people become more aware of what's going on. And so that's great. Now, in nature itself, I think that we're going to see possibly one more cool year coming up through the next summer of 2010 in the East in particular. I think we're going to still see a cool trend, an unusual cool trend.
Did you mention Al Gore by any chance?
Don, that's Lord Al Gore. He's the Earl of Douchebaggington. And no, I would love to give him a couple little bit pieces of my mind if I ever had the opportunity to. But in nature itself.
He's busy designing internet too, I think, right now. Is what
Yep, and I'm sure the fuel cell, I'm sure he's still working on that since he was vice president. He promised the government was going to come up with that for us. And so with nature, we're going to see extreme weather patterns. The cool trend is, I think, going to happen for another year. Unusually cool in the warm weather seasons. And we're going to see extreme weather, very extreme weather, more so than even up to now, with moderate weather being more and more rare. But watch out for 2011. I think 2011 is the key year where our sun comes out of this very unusual sleeping state, which right now is, I think, probably one of the biggest, hottest topics still among the scientists in the closed room sessions that they don't want us to be aware of, because the sun is unusually quiet. And out of all the years of observing it, they've never seen anything like it. And that tells me that we're going to have another year of unusually cool weather. But I believe it's going to come out of this dormancy in 2011, maybe by mid-2011. By that time, the summer of 2011, I think we're going to start to see a really increase in warm weather, hot weather. I think into 2012, it's going to be getting really hot, truly really hot. And that would have been a time for these idiots to come out with their global warming. But it's great that they didn't then, that they tried now, because God has shown the world that it's all nonsense because it's much cooler right now. But that's what we can expect. There's going to be a hot trend coming in from nature as the grand conclusion gets closer, as the events all compound each other, and this what I call the grand conclusion draws closer.
Mm-hmm. We keep hearing these rumors, and that's all they are, is rumors and diversions, deflections from the truth. That the long-legged Mac Daddy is going to make some official announcement. Like, he's qualified to do this, by the way.
Well, as a Nobel Peace Prize winner, Don, I mean, sure he's qualified.
about E.T. Existence, you know,
his long-lost brothers.
The presence of people from other parts of the universe and their appearance here. Like, this is something that we haven't talked about on this show for the past 2.5 years. And certainly,
yes,
he gets intelligence updates from the agents that monitor this show and other shows where they talk about this. I mean, you know.
I'm glad, Don, I'm glad you said that. Because also, what we can expect, I mentioned the extreme weather patterns. We're going to definitely see more supernatural activity occurring. And keep on the lookout for that and expect it, because we're going to see more and more of that going on. And this is part of that. But when they step forward with this extraterrestrial activity to help gain some more control over us, it's going to be all about the grays. It won't be about the human types. It'll be all about the grays. Watch that. That's, I'm sure, how it's going to pan out, because that they're the ones they're in cahoots with. They won't want us to know about the good guys, only the bad guys, and the bad guys will be good, according to them.
Well, when you say the grays, you must be referring to the tall grays, but what about the hybrids that work with the reptilians? What about the reptilians?
Well, yes, but when I say the grays, Don, I'm referring
identify
to the,
themselves.
The grays, the tall and the shorts, they're all automatons. They're not really truly sentient beings by design. I'm positive they're automatons, and they're not organic, they're inorganic automatons. They're just drones.
Oh, I agree.
Right. For these reptilians who work for the Dracos.
Mm-hmm. Or Dracos, as they're sometimes called.
Yes.
Those
as
are
in
the
Draconian.
The winged reptilians. Now, speaking of which, I find it rather interesting that Franz Joseph I, the Emperor of Austria-Hungary, had his own personal coat of arms outside of the house of Habsburg. And his was a double-headed, winged dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that I put that in my article, by the
way. Yeah, it's very common. And, you know, of course, I have dragon juice. And
yeah, you do, but that's quite a bit different.
Well, yes, but often from Christian friends that discovered my products and started using them, and so we became friends, talking with them over time. And question me, Mike, you know, you're so, you know, close to the Lord and you're into the Lord and all that, but yet you got dragon juice. I mean, how did you come up with that? But really, it was Dragon Slayer juice, but it was too long of a name, so I condensed it to dragon juice. And then I had a friendly dragon with muscles and a positive attitude as my symbol for the dragon juice, and breathing fire, showing vim and vigor. And so, you know, when it comes to dragons, I'm pretty sure, Don, I really am, that in remote past, there were good dragons as well. There's bad dragons, no question about it, but there were good dragons too. And so when I see these arms, these coat of arms with dragons, I never know offhand. I'm not going to jump to a conclusion. King Arthur, who truly existed, and brought about the Age of Chivalry, which was still alive right into the 1900s. And King Arthur, his dad was Arthur Pendragon, Luther Pendragon from the dragons. And but King Arthur was a great man. He really was. And the knights that worked with him were all truly great champions. And they began to establish civilization out of an age of barbarism, and only roughly about 500 years after the Lord walked the earth. And these men and women began to forge a harmonious culture, and it didn't last long because the forces of darkness came back out and extinguished it. But it was the beginning of modern civilization, where chivalry and honor and pursuit of good things, instead of warfare, the good knights had to go out on errands, right? Looking for damsels in distress was one of the most common ones. And then ultimately the search for the Holy Grail was the greatest objective of their quest. But you see, it wasn't about warfare no more. King Arthur was great, but he was from a dragon clan. And so, you know, when it comes to dragons and coats of arms, I still have reservation of drawing a conclusion that they're all Luciferian, but many of them are, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, in this case, I'm fairly certain. Even the numerology, the hidden numerology in the dates published of you know, in this, it's all fictional, yet they use the dates and the numbers to manifest a certain secret power out of this.
And, yes, absolutely.
You know, they even did this with the wedding dates. In fact, you know, they chose July 1st of 1916, and you have double eights in that number. And then there was another published date, May 21st, in a genealogy record that, again, is a set of double eights. The like you said, the modus operandi is there in that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it usually is. They're all into the occult.
Mm-hmm.
There's no getting around that. The occult is hidden knowledge. There are those that desire it for selfish purposes, and they'll use that knowledge, which is a science, and science consists of math and hence numbers, and it consists of chemistry, and that's why we have alchemy in those days, and it consists of also geometry, and that's why you have, and geometry, of course, is part of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
It's a physical representation of math, and that's why it's so integral for the activity in occult activity, whether for good or bad. And so, sure, absolutely. This is how it is. It's always been this way, and it's still very active right now in our time. But the laymen don't know it. They're not meant to know it. None of us are intended to know any of this, because this is how they keep an upper hand over us, keep us as little sheep, and they want to consider themselves shepherds, but they're really wolves. They're actually wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. Well, forgive me for knowing it.
And me too.
And you too. and a bunch of other people.
Let's just thank the good Lord that we do.
Yeah.
Those that do are enlightened only because, for some reason, the good Lord has allowed that to be. And the rest of the laymen aren't intended to know yet. But that doesn't mean God doesn't want them to know. But those that do are fortunate, and that's only because God has allowed it. So we can't take credit for it. We can only thank God that we are aware.
Yeah, that we have the eyes to see and
yes.
the ears to hear.
Yes, that's absolutely right. That's all thanks to God.
Yes. Well, speaking of eyes to see, we're out of time. So I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints.
And
I
My wanna, pleasure.
I want to encourage people who are interested in Michael Anthony's private stock. We've talked about dragon juice, infection killer, rapid heal, system toner, and beautiful hair, even on a number
yes.
of shows.
Yes, and beautiful hair, the system toner, and they all work great. And even for just you want to stay young and healthy, system toner, dragon juice, some of my herbal tea. Don, you'll be checking out my latest, what I call my green tea, truly a very healthy tea, and it's very popular already with everybody because it makes you feel so good. And you could be hungry and drink it, and you won't be hungry for a while. It's so nourishing. And it has a beautiful green color after about 3 days of brewing in the container once you make it. It'll come off with a beautiful green, very healthy stuff, but also youthful. Keeps you very youthful, these products. And they're very special. No question about it. And I'm very fortunate to possess these formulas.
Well, I want to encourage folks to go to my sponsors page. If you're interested, it makes a great holiday gift. And even for yourself.
And yes, absolutely. And since it's holidays, Don, as well, I'm working with everybody that's placing orders as far as throwing in a little extra goodies because it's the holidays, and that's just how I operate. So I'm still doing that right up until the first week of the new year.
Okay, good. And we're going to have you back on the show in January, hopefully. You can find some time in your...
Absolutely, Don. Always look forward to it.
And I want to get into a deep discussion on some of the health issues, diet and
great.
The immune system and the overall attitude about health, because there's not a piece of paper that's going to come out of any government structure that's going to make people healthy.
Of course.
Quite the contrary.
All the good documentation that I've come across from the 50s and the 60s by government people doing legitimate scientific research, that's all been suppressed. Their conclusions about what a diet is, how it impacts health, and what real food is and what isn't real food, all of that's been suppressed. So, yes, unfortunately, you can't learn this stuff through normal education means anymore. But let's get into it next time, Don. I look forward to it. We'll cover a lot on that.
Okay. Michael Anthony, I want to wish you a very happy new year and look forward to your next visit with us in the month of January 2010.
Don, thank you again and happy new year to you. Happy new year to your audience. God bless and peace to all living things.
Oh, great. Well said. Well, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, also on Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. We want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow night if you're not going anywhere and doing anything special. Our wonderful former U.S. Marine, Drew Raines, will be our guest on tomorrow night's show. And yes, we are doing a show on New Year's Eve. I want to thank BBS Radio for making Evident Footprints possible. Both Don Newsom and Seth Hendrick doing the sound all this year. And I want to wish everyone there at BBSRadio.com in the studio a very happy new year. And to all you in the listening audience, I appreciate you tuning in and supporting this show as you have. All your calls, your emails, and your prayers. And I want to reciprocate by wishing everyone a very happy new year. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.